Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. I am the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. Today is Wednesday, June 20th. I did want to remind everyone that every Friday, I will be answering your guys' questions. So whatever questions you have, email them to stevethescout81@gmail.com. Each week, I will pick the best five questions. I'll give you a shout out and I'll answer your question. But it's five a week that I'll take. And again, that is stevethescout81@gmail.com. And let me just talk to you guys about the way the show is structured right now. So we are on every, when I say we, it's because, hey, if you guys weren't listening, there wouldn't be a we. So yes, we are on every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Monday right now, the way that show is structured on a weekly basis is I'm going position by position and telling you which guys are surefire Hall of Famers and which guys are close to being surefire Hall of Famers and telling you what they have to do to get there. This past Monday, I did the quarterbacks. Today's show, Wednesday, is also going to be the start of a series where I give you the 30 best players in the NFL. Friday, and again, that's today's show. Friday, what I'm going to do again is answer your questions, like I said. So let's talk about, you know, today's Wednesday. So the 30 best players in the NFL. This time of year, you're seeing the NFL Network, Pro Football Focus, and a lot of other websites and media outlets. They are releasing their best players list. And I will tell you that they, in my opinion, are all flawed. Let me explain why that is. When you look at the NFL Network, it's essentially basing it on how well that player played last year. Are you really going to freaking tell me that J.J. Watt is not one of the 30 best players in the NFL right now because he was injured last year? So I get it. They call it the best players list of 2017, 2018. But my list takes two things into consideration. Number one, how good are they now? And number two, how good have they been in recent years? Pro Football Focus, a website for statistical purposes that I rely heavily on. And when I look at Pro Football Focus, it is an amazing website and probably, in my opinion, the coolest football website out there. However, they are very heavily focused on stats. Yes, of course, those guys watch game tape, but their player rankings are largely based on stats. I think the most realistic way to say who's the best player is to look at their body of work in recent years and how good are they right now. If a player is well past his prime, I don't care if he's a Hall of Famer, he's not going on the list. There's a difference between being the best player now and being one of the best players of your generation. When I look at the best players now, again, it's two things. How good are they now and how good have they been in recent years? And in that analysis, I do want to make it very clear that I am way more concerned with how good they are now. If a player has had one amazing season, followed up by another season that was absolutely ridiculous, yes, that helps. But the main thing that I want to look at is how good are they now. But, you know, if they have not had a large enough body of work, in my opinion, and a large enough body of work really, really has to be two seasons. So I'm sorry, you know, if someone was a rookie this past year, they're not going to be on the list. They need to play at least more than one season, even a season and a half. I'll take. Let me give you a great example. Jimmy Garoppolo, I think, is going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the next 10 years. You want to talk about a guy with a quick release who goes through his progressions as fast as anyone with amazing accuracy and touch. Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm telling you, it is a small sample size. However, there's to me no doubt whatsoever that he is going to be an amazing quarterback for a long time. But you know what? I can't put him on the list because to me, I need to see him play a full season. Yes, I believe he has Hall of Fame potential, but I need to see a little more of him. All right, starting off with number 30, we have the cornerback from the Arizona Cardinals, Patrick Peterson. Look, Patrick Peterson, he's always been in the conversation when you're talking about best cornerback in the league. I don't know if there's ever been a point where he's been over a few years span the decisive, without no question, number one cornerback in the NFL. But he's always been in that conversation. And, you know, I will just say this. When you want to talk about actual technique playing the cornerback position, I don't know if there's really anyone better than him. Another thing you have to realize is that he trails the number one receiver. That's all he does. He trails the number one receiver every single game. If you've ever watched Patrick Peterson in the slot, he is absolutely outstanding in the slot. Yes, you know, there have been times where you see him get beat, you know, but when you want to look at him overall playing against these top end wide receivers, he does a very good job against him. You know, just his actual ability to mirror an opponent, his feet work, his quickness, his instincts, all of that has continually made Patrick Peterson one of the best cornerbacks in the game. And you know, look, he has one of the hardest jobs of any cornerback in the NFL, and he does it very well. And this is someone who I think he continues playing at the level he's playing at, he can end up in the Hall of Fame one day. Interestingly enough, the next guy on my list was Patrick Peterson's teammate for a number of years and also played in the secondary, and that is safety Tyrann Mathieu. Look, Mathieu has not had a truly healthy offseason where he's been able to train continually throughout the offseason for a few years right now. Really, when you look at it, it's been three seasons. The Cardinals cut him, but you know, his issue has been staying healthy. Right now he's in a 1-year contract with Houston, and I'm telling you, the guy now has a healthy offseason, and with a healthy offseason and him having a full year next year, to be quite honest, if we're doing this list in a year from now, he really should be in the top 20. When you want to talk about a playmaking safety, when he's healthy, he is the best as a playmaking safety. He has great versatility, so you know, you really can't look at him just as a safety. Outside of having just tremendous athleticism and instincts and a nose for the ball, you know, he can really play almost any position in the secondary. When you look at Mathieu as a tackler, yes, he's not a big guy. You know, he'll tell you since Pee Wee football, this guy has been almost always the smallest guy in the field. They call him the Honey Badger because, to be quite honest, the Honey Badger is one of the most fearless animals you'll ever see. It'll take on a lion, a tiger. It really just doesn't give a crap. And he does play that same way. But when you want to look at instincts from a safety, instincts of just knowing where the ball is, and you know, there's been so many times where I've seen him jump a route and jump a route in a way that's absolutely off the charts. His ability to recognize what is going on in terms of where the football is going is the best, I believe, of any safety in the NFL. He's going to be healthy this year. Look, he can do everything. He can mirror receivers. He can stay in the slot. His best football is played when he's manning center field. And I'm telling you, Tyrann Mathieu, if he stays healthy, this guy is a megastar. On my list, the 28th best player in the NFL is someone that could easily make it into my top 10, top 15 next year, and that is Joey Bosa, defensive end from the Chargers. When I watched Joey Bosa's tape at Ohio State, I saw some of the best skill sets I've ever seen on college tape from a defensive end in terms of being able to efficiently use his hands and disengage. And I'm telling you, every single time he disengages, he is going to affect the play. Every time he disengages, he is getting right to the quarterback. And it doesn't matter if there's, you know, some other guys there to block him. He is finding the quarterback. Also, when you look at Bosa's ability, he doesn't really get all that low, but just his ability to get around the edge quickly is absolutely remarkable. And when he's, you know, even when he's thrown off balance, he's very, very quick. He's very, very quick to regain his balance. When I look at him, I see a lot of J.J. Watt. To me, they play very similar. He's a smaller version, but in terms of hand technique and being able to use their hands to disengage and get around the edge and even bull rush, these two players in my mind are very similar. Joey Bosa, you know, I could have easily put him in the top 20 on this list. I want to continue to see him dominate, but based on what I've seen so far, he's definitely a top 30 player and a guy that is going to continue to get better, and someone who I think just this next year he'll be in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. And the 27th best player in the NFL on my list is wide receiver A.J. Green from the Cincinnati Bengals. When you want to look at the aspects of A.J. Green's game that is better than any other receiver in the NFL, it is number one, his catch radius, and number two, his body control. His body control and his ability to adjust to a bad throw is better than any wide receiver in the NFL. Not to say Andy Dalton is a bad quarterback, but I've seen a lot of throws that really I don't know if any other receiver would have caught. But his ability to have body control, balance, and adjust himself to a ball that's not thrown that well, that particular skill is better than any other receiver in the NFL. He is a tall guy, but still to this day gets elite level separation from top defenders. When you want to talk about his hands, he has some of the surest hands in the NFL, and he's one of those guys. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how tightly you cover him, because at the last second, with that great body control and that great catch radius, he will figure out a way to make the play there. Still, like I said, he's getting elite separation in and out of his breaks. He's fast, and you know what? He is also a smart football player, and that is why A.J. Green is without question one of the 30 best players in the NFL. Coming in at number 26 is Calais Campbell. Calais Campbell's been playing in the league for a while. He played, I believe, 9 seasons with the Cardinals, and when he was with the Cardinals, pretty much the entire time he was playing as an interior defensive lineman, and he was very disruptive that way. You look at him now, he's physically in better shape than he was, and he converted to an edge rusher, and last year, without question, you could have made the argument that he was the best defensive player in the NFL. He was that dominant and disruptive last year. So I believe that the defensive end position, really playing, you know, in a 4-3 defensive end, you know, that to me is a great position for him. You know, when he was with the Cardinals, mostly he just played the 3 technique. So with that being said, you know, look, he had 14.5 sacks last year. He was highly disruptive against the run. You want to talk about hand swatting and a variety of pass rush moves. He's got it. Not only that, Jacksonville's got a lot of great players in their team, but they're young. And he is the emotional leader of that defense. And now that it's just remarkable that the guy, you know, has been in the league this long and is now playing his very best football, at a difficult position. So Calais Campbell, without question, in my opinion, is one of the 30 best players in the NFL, and we are moving on to the next one. The Philadelphia Eagles had an outstanding defensive line this year. They had Brandon Graham, who, although I do not have him on this list, if I was to make a top 50 list, he would certainly be on there. They had Brandon Graham. They had Vinnie Curry. But without question, because I watched today a lot of Eagles tape and a lot of snaps just looking at their defensive line and in individual plays with this guy. And there's nobody, and I mean nobody, that was as disruptive on their defensive line nearly as much as Fletcher Cox. What makes him so great is how devastating he is at the point of attack. He has, he has a variety of pass rush moves. He has great hands. When you want to talk about a bull rush from the defensive tackle position, he's really as good as it gets from there. Maybe obviously, you know, there's one guy I put ahead of him, which I'm going to rank later. But when you want to look at just strength at the point of attack, he's just so devastating because, number one, the guy's gotten bigger and stronger since he came into the league. Came into the league at 298 pounds. And when you look at his frame then, you look at his frame now, he's definitely gotten bigger. But what he does that's really, that I noticed a lot, is he has these fluid hips, and he's just so ridiculously powerful that he just knows how to use that strength really well at the point of attack. And what you see a lot is that he's collapsing the pocket from inside on the interior part of the defensive line, which made Brandon Graham and Vinnie Curry's job a hell of a lot easier. You know, just looking at defensive tackles, I'm going to say this. You know, there's really only one other defensive tackle in the NFL that I would say is better than him. You know, I've watched tape on him. I've watched plenty of Ndamukong Suh. There's Gerald McCoy. Look, I get it. There's Geno Atkins. But when you want to just talk about devastation and the ability to actually take over a game, Fletcher Cox is ridiculous. When you want to talk about the best guards in the NFL, this guy is one of the two best guards in the NFL, in my opinion. And that is David DeCastro, a guard from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Here is what makes DeCastro so good. When you want to talk about his pulling technique is the best of any guard in the NFL, and that even includes Zach Martin, who, yes, he's also on this list. Spoiler alert, yes, he is the one guard I have ranked ahead of him, so he will be on this list somewhere. But when you want to look at David DeCastro as a pulling guard, there's no one that particular technique. I don't know of anyone that does it better than him. One thing that he does also better than any other guard is maneuvering of his feet. That is one of the constants I saw in his game tape. Is that, you know, he went against some very tough interior defenders. I mean, he goes against Geno Atkins twice a year. He had a deal with Jacksonville this year, but you never see him give up. And his ability to move his feet, pitter patter, always properly adjust, was truly, truly special. And when you want to look at a guy that, you know, plays with strength, never, you know, someone that never gives up on a play and has a high motor and is really an old school throwback, that is David DeCastro. Another interesting fact, he only surrendered half a sack the entire season, and he is, in my mind, without question, one of the 30 best players in the NFL. You know, if you ask a lot of people who's Casey Hayward, a lot of avid NFL fans do not know who he is. But I'll tell you who he is. He is one of the very, very, very best cornerbacks in the NFL. Again, you know, I always talk about Pro Football Focus. It is great for certain statistics. Again, stats are not everything. You have to go back and look at the game tape. But when you look at Hayward's career, he began in 2012. He is constant, and he has his entire career, except for this past year, he's played almost exclusively as a slot corner. when they put him on the outside. Now this year they put him on the outside, and they had him play the Patrick Peterson, Darrell Revis role, where he trailed the number one wide receiver for the entire game. And when you take that into consideration, also take into consideration that he had the highest rated season in terms of all the important stats on Pro Football Focus. It's the highest rated season any cornerback has had since Darrell Revis in 2009. Look, statistics are statistics, tape is tape, but you got to take into consideration that these stats came when he was trailing a number one wide receiver. He was excellent in the slot, but you know, now looking at him as a guy that's playing on the outside, this is one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, and a guy that I think even just after watching him just the last 2 years especially, a lot of people don't know him, but I believe you could make a case that this is the best cornerback in the NFL. The guy that I have ranked as the 22nd best player in the NFL is quarterback Carson Wentz of the Philadelphia Eagles. Realistically, he's played a little bit more than a season and a half, but let me just say this. When you want to look at accuracy, pocket presence, field vision, and just being able to go through progressions quickly, Carson Wentz is that guy. Now, I will say that he does play with a good offense. He plays with a very good offensive line. He has good running backs. He has serviceable people to throw the ball to. So yes, he does actually have a good supporting cast there. But you cannot ignore the fact that before he got hurt, he was probably going to be the NFL MVP in his second year. The first game I watched against Carson Wentz, he went against the Cleveland Browns. They had Robert Griffin that game. And although, you know, you weren't seeing any eye-popping stats from him, what I was seeing is that particular game, he was getting harassed all the time in his first game, and under a lot of pressure, it literally did not faze him at all. When you want to look at a guy that just brings everything to the table as a quarterback, if you were to build the perfect quarterback, Carson Wentz, you can make a case, really is that guy. This is a guy that I believe over the next 10 years will be one of the 3 to 4 best quarterbacks in the NFL, and someone, just based on the tape I've seen so far, he keeps playing like this. This is a Hall of Fame player. When you want to talk about offensive linemen, I believe right now this guy is the best offensive lineman, pure offensive lineman in the NFL, and that is guard Zach Martin for the Dallas Cowboys. Look, in college, he played a lot of tackle. He is a guy that at this point, his entire career, every single year, he has either been first or second team All-Pro. Every single year since he started, he's ranked in the top five in the NFL with both least quarterback hurries and least quarterback sacks. When you want to look at consistency at the guard position, yes, I just talked about David DeCastro, but Zach Martin over the past few years and even now is playing at a little bit of a higher level. Just like David DeCastro, Zach Martin has incredibly quick feet for a big man and can readjust very well. The thing that's going to separate DeCastro from Zach Martin is Zach Martin is better in pass protection. It's that simple. DeCastro is great in pass protection, but Zach Martin is even better. When you want to look at a guy that knows how to use leverage, how to use a strength, and if you look at a lot of Ezekiel Elliott runs, look. A lot of those was just him being a road grader, him going out there and sealing the gap and allowing Zeke to actually have bigger numbers than he would have had without him. When you want to break down Zach Martin's tape, he's one of the cleanest prospects I've evaluated in quite some time, and I'm talking about when he was actually coming out of school. You know, to me, Quentin Nelson is another Zach Martin that just came out this year, and I believe that when it's all said and done, Zach Martin will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Because if you ask me, since he's come into the league, he has been, in my opinion, the best offensive lineman in the NFL, and still is. All right, guys. So that is it for this week's edition of Top 30 Players in the NFL. I gave you 30 through 21. Next week, I'm going to give you 20 through 11 on Wednesday. Friday show, remember, you guys have questions, send them to me. SteveTheScout81@gmail.com. The other week, I got a lot of questions. I just picked the five that I thought were the best. Again, if I can't answer your question, doesn't mean that I don't think it wasn't important, but I'm just going to choose five each week. And again, that's sending that to SteveTheScout81@gmail.com. Talk to you guys on Friday. Enjoy the rest of your week. You know, man.